This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hi there, and welcome to the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, our almost weekly look into Seattle Sounders FC, fat guys smashing bellies, and super uninteresting dad life commentary, plus an attempt to understand Brandon's pregnant. We're your hosts for mornings on 107.7 The End. I'm Gregor, and he's been in the locker room, on the pitch, and blah, blah, blah. He's Brandon, he's sexy skanking Brandon, and he's back in Seattle today.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, look, I've been in a hotel room with, I'm in a hotel room right now. You just got to witness my screaming baby, which he's not usually doing that. Believe it or not, he's actually the best. He is like hardly ever screaming.
Yeah.
And usually I'm just like, please just put a boob in his mouth or something. Like I can't, you know? And, but my wife just,
what happens if I start screaming?
You know what? I have yet to try that.
Okay. Well, anyway, if you could do us a quick solid to click on through to Apple Podcasts, give us a rating.
Definitely put a boob in our mouth. Definitely 5 stars.
But primarily, leave us a comment. We just want to know your favorite ever boob, left or right.
You know what? We actually want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player. And being back in Seattle, we're staying very close to Seattle Center. You can see the Space Needle from our window, but definitely from our hotel. We just took a little walk around Seattle Center, and being back here has me feeling very nostalgic. So I'm going to name a couple very old players.
Wait, hold up. Are you guys staying in a tent?
No. Although it is, I'll talk more about this hotel in a second, but I want to know who your favorite Sounders FC player is, and so I just have a couple very old, kind of very nostalgic players that I really want people to consider as their favorite. So from Steve Zakuani to Freddie Montero.
Oh, you did it backwards in the sheet where it was from Freddie Montero to Steve Zakuani, back to Montero, go!
Yeah, you know that Simpsons episode where they. Or is it maybe they go to like a TV store and they're like, Arriaga to Arriaga to Arriaga. Like listening to that Roldan, listening to that Freddie Montero goal where it was basically Roldan to Montero.
Hey, speaking of old Sounders players, go ahead and tell us who your favorite ever old school, like maybe first couple season Sounders player is. But yeah. I've got one to offer.
Or you can go back all into the 70s too. I mean, like if you have a favorite, if your truly favorite Sounders player is from before 2009, and it's Zach Scott, like pre, if you were like, I liked his old stuff better, Zach Scott, then like.
Yeah, if Taylor Graham is your favorite player before it was Rave Green, then I'll have that too. But
but
really, I fail to recognize this. Everyone's like so up about like this like 50 years thing, and they're all excited for. I fail to recognize any form of the Sounders before 2009.
Yeah, so okay.
That's not true. I fully support the 50
so
years.
You're a NASL denier.
Yeah, exactly. People can say that the earth is flat and that vaccines don't work, but I deny the existence of the NASL. Now, speaking of old players or original players from the era of Sounders that I believe in, we were cleaning out the like the closets at work, and like there's no one at work anymore. Like I went in and like there's this like one lady in the promotions office, Sarah, she's the nicest. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, I don't know. This is amazing that anyone's even here. They're like a tumbleweed blew by. It was like, so cool. And she's like, hey, check this out. I thought of you the other day. And she opens up the prize closet, which is now empty because we don't do anything because we've been pandemicked.
Yeah.
And she's like, I thought you might like this. And she hooked this up, man.
Whoa.
We had an autographed Brad Evans jersey from one of my least favorite eras of jerseys. But like, it's I should give it to Brad Evans to give away on his,
so he can put it on Contrib
thing.
That's a for our listeners, that's the rave green jersey with the blue sleeves. Yeah, the Pacific blue, or not the Pacific blue sleeves, but the Sounders blue. We create these like cool modifiers for all of the different like Sounder, like rave green, Cascade Shale, and then the blue is just Sounders blue.
Now, my problem with Adidas in general, if you're listening, it's not an actual problem. I should say Adidas, is that this jersey is the one that has all the little S's on the front.
Yeah, that cool like fish hook thing, right? It kind of looks like,
That's fine, but like Adidas overdoes it with the textures, which I don't like. And I thought about this as I was watching RSL the other day, but in the Sounders game. But like there's all these S's on the front, but then the back does not have it. And so it's not consistent, and the sleeves don't have it. And so it's just the, like, and it only goes up to the shoulder seam. And so it's just very odd.
There's this thing, I've noticed this about, and I don't know if it's just like the MLS jerseys that Adidas does, but it's like when you look at the striped, the teams that have vertical stripes, so you look at Austin FC, you look at Atlanta United, and the way that they do their vertical stripes, I've always found it so weird that like their stripes, they have the stripes across the front, and then there's a solid seam that goes down the side, and then it's just black on the back, right? Or whatever one of those colors on the back.
Yeah.
Where if you go into, so it always feels very like shunted, right? Like it doesn't feel like a cohesive jersey. It kind of feels like we put two pieces of fabric together. When you go into, you know,
it's like it's a very World War II jersey. Like it's like, well, these are the fabrics we had left, so sew them together.
Exactly. But when you go into watching, I mean, basically any other league, the stripes on the jerseys usually at least go partway up the back, not so far to obscure the number and name of the player, but usually enough to be like, no, this is the jersey pattern, right? So it's going to go across the whole kit, as opposed to just the front. And we didn't, it's almost like, oh, we were striping the jersey and then we ran out of money. So we're only going to do the part that people see.
Hey, did you see that the back black was on sale? Like, whoa, we got a ton of bundles of it. Let's make those.
Yeah, sweet.
So I was watching the match, the awesome Sounders losing match at RSL.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm watching that, I'm like, you know what? That's a cool ass jersey top that they have there. Maybe the colors aren't for some people or whatever, but like, I like the three-tone, and it's been largely the same for a very long time. Yeah, sure, there's the year where everyone has the off-weight shoulder thing that Adidas forced upon everybody. But I really like the kind of modern version that they have, that version of red is the burgundy and then the
claret.
Claret. Yeah, claret, but it's not even quite claret because it's like,
that's what they call it, I think.
It's like red wine, and then the cool, that dark blue is awesome, and then that pop of gold on it is so cool. And so, like, I'm a big fan of their, of that style that they use.
Yeah.
And then you use your away jersey to do fun stuff to sell jerseys instead of just making these kind of like, and obviously the Sounders have to give the thumbs up on them or whatever, but I don't fault really Seattle for being like rolling out a new jersey all the time as a moneymaker. I get it.
Yeah.
I just think that a lot of times they're like, we got to change it. So what do we do? Like, we'll just make this arm purple and then the rest of it will be green. And they're like, great. So people will buy them.
I mean, even the team, like, we've talked about kit stuff so much at this point, but like we both have thought at one point that the Sounders just need a classic rave green. Like you're the only, if you're going to rock that color, right, you're the only team in the league that's rocking that color. Y'all got to be the one, like, just make a perfect crisp, like, some, you look at like you know, the way that Liverpool owns the red that they do, and they just rock it. Or, you know, I mean, you, I don't know if you watched the Arsenal match over the weekend, but they rock the
weird,
red,
right?
They rock the red shorts, right?
And, yeah, and so
it was so weird, different, but it was very like it was a throwback kind of to some of their more iconic looks in the past, and it's cool to see teams like just really lean in. Now, look, I'm not asking the Sounders to do the rave green tops on the rave green shorts, because I think that those rave green tops on the, what should we call this one? Okay, how about Sounders blue color shorts? I think that's a great.
I bet you it started as Seattle blue, and then someone was like, hold on, I got it.
Yeah.
Sounders blue. And they're like, yeah.
Or maybe they were like, oh, man. That game really stunk. The Sounders played so poorly. Yeah, man, the Sounders really blew. Wait a second, I have an idea.
So I'm on the radio in Sacramento, right? And the Republic is there, the Sacramento Republic, the whatever that lower division that they play in is. I'm not even sure which one.
It's USL, and like, before it's MLS Next or whatever.
And they were supposed to come up, but then there was a huge debacle and they lost the funding, and now they're not coming up to – they pulled out of the – nice. They pulled out of the –
his isn't pregnant.
They pulled out of the running to get the new MLS squad, and it looked like it was going to happen, and that would have been awesome. But I went to go buy a jersey from them, and they don't sell the home kit. And I was like, are they going to announce is there going to be a new one or something? And then I'm like, wait, the season starts on Saturday, and at the time it was Tuesday. And I was like, so what do you guys get? Do you guys not want supporters? Or like, how does this...
That's weird too, because I feel like back when I was working for S2 back in the day, and I got to go down to
same,
we both got to do that, and I got to go down with the team to the away match in Sacramento, and it was actually a very well supported team. I think on the cusp of like entering MLS, it might still be.
So the first ever match at home for S2 at Starfire Field was against Sacramento Republic, yeah. And I went to it, and they had 50, 60 knuckleheads travel up for it, and it was awesome to see that.
I mean, they're one of the best supported clubs.
Was it Darwin Jones? Is that who that was that played?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he had a couple goals. Like,
yeah, I don't know if he had a couple goals in that match, but or maybe he did. I don't remember. It's so far back. But yeah. But anyway, I feel like that's a very well supported club with a very good design scheme as well. And for them to not like be selling their stuff seems, you know, but maybe they're like, oh, that funder pulled out and now we don't have the, who knows what it is. But anyway,
the sash. It's so cool. Like, yeah. I really like sash jerseys like that, yeah. As long as they keep it simple. That's the thing, is that when you start having all these design elements, you got to keep everything pretty simple in order to be able to pull it off. Unless you go all in and make the Jimi Hendrix kit, because that thing's right. That's bonkers. And
well,
I love
that's
it.
Why, that's why when you are... when you are Arsenal or when you are the Sounders and you do have like something iconic always as your home kit, right? Like, you, even when the Sounders do something weird with the blue, it's still a rave green kit, right? When they can go, you know, crazy with the electric, you know, the electricity in the super cyan and all of that stuff as their secondary kits or as their third kits. Oh, I miss third kits, right? but you know, I think that it's interesting. Something like the LA Galaxy have the sash, and this year,
oh, gross.
they have the sash. Oh man, I got the sash. but this year they went without it. Like, it's like, you own that in this league. You are the sash team, and you've gotten rid of it.
To be fair, they're going with a stash now, so it's just a big mustache across.
Actually, no, Sasha Kljestan doesn't play for them anymore, so they don't have the stats.
Well, in memorial.
Right, RIP. In Cincinnati, or wherever you play now.
Sephora stores are everywhere you are, so just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist, a confidence boost before your interview, or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
Oh, dude. Well, we got a match coming up and everything, and I want to get to that here in a second. But I just looked at the standings to see where LA Galaxy were. They're second or third in the league or whatever. But I was blown away. I know we're two games in and Sounders are like the worst ever or whatever, but I was blown away to see Austin FC is number one in the West with two matches played, two wins, and 10 goals scored and only one allowed. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. We talked about this on, I think, one of the first episodes of this new season, in that toward the end, I think I was saying that I think that the Sounders are going to have a hard time scoring goals right off the bat. I think that it's going to take them a little bit of time to get together, get their stuff together, like learn how to play with Rusnak, learn how to reincorporate Morris and Ladero and get Chu on the field. And Obed Vargas is like, he looks amazing. I mean, the Sounders are going to catch a pretty penny for that kid. But, yeah, zero goals through the first two games, and the team like Austin has 10. I mean, look, if the Sounders are only losing these games 1-0, right? If they play that way, they're going to give up 34 goals throughout the entire season. I don't know what that puts that, like, how many goals they gave up in 2021. I was going to look that up, but like, I mean, they got to score some goals. Now, thankfully, we did get to see some goals against León. We got to see some goals against Motagua or whatever they're called. The Sounders scored 8 goals in their last 2 Champions League matches. But the Sounders, I don't think in their last 9 league matches have scored, or no, not haven't scored, but they haven't won.
Yeah, they haven't won since October. That Keith Gossingen keeps pounding that point home while doing the commentary. Sounders last year, goals for 53, goals allowed 33, and like half of those allowed were from like July on last year or something. Like, it was like they really got leaky towards the end after having an insane goal differential. They still had the best goal differential in the entire West last season, and I bet you in the East it was pretty close at least.
Yeah,
only New England, who had like the craziest year, did better in GD than Seattle did last year. So it's like, once they get the defense together and maybe start putting in a few goals and they actually have offensive players again, it'll be cool.
Well, it's funny because it's the Sounders' attack, or the Sounders' defense, hasn't been necessarily bad. I mean, giving up one goal in a match isn't terrible.
Got a mad Nuhu, though. That guy's mad all the time, and everybody's like, what are you doing? Like, yelling at people. I love it. I love Nuhu being mad, especially at the kids. It's funny.
Well, I feel like you defend Mo Salah once, and you come back, and you're like, oh, I'm Nuhu. Oh, king of the castle, king of the castle. You can get mad at everybody.
He's like, a big boy, man.
He's yelling at Schmetzer in the locker room, and Schmetzer's like, Nuhu? And he's like, when was the last time that you defended the best player in the world, Brian?
Hey, I just thought of the comparison for what Nuhu looks like. If you like Google Nuhu, his like headshot that they use, that guy's like all shoulders. He's like so, like, he's such
stocky.
A tank.
Yeah.
But this year he's a lot longer. Like, he's a lot leaner. If you look at his shoulders down, he's gotten a lot quicker, and I think he's like less bulky than the rest of his body. He looks like one of the B2 battle droids in Star Wars, the ones that like push the dumb ones out of the way, and they're
chrome and their heads are just kind
of
like
out of the way. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and the other guy's like, man, my legs must not be working. Not the legs one, the other one that's like big and bullying. That's like Nuhu. Right. He's like a battle droid.
Yeah, he comes in basically. It's like a next level Mega Man, because they also the ones that shoot the rockets out of their wrists, right?
Only it's a bicycle kicking for no reason Mega Man, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, did you notice, speaking of big dudes...
Speaking of Mega Man.
At one point, I was like, Jordan Morris was setting up for something, and he did something, and I was like, oh my God, Jordan Morris has got a big old butt.
No.
You ever notice that?
No.
Like, I don't... No,
yeah. No. Honestly, I'll tell you what. Like, did you notice that during the RSL match?
Yeah.
So,
maybe it was actually during the
León match.
I can't remember. It was during the León match, because that's when I typed this note out. Yeah.
No, I didn't see his butt. But you know what? I've seen
his butt.
I've seen his butt. I don't know. The guy the way that he runs, he looks strong. He looks thick. Jordan Morris is thick. He's also a battle droid. He might be more like a one of the droidicas that rolls around because he's so quick and injury prone.
If only we could put shields on his knees.
Yeah, no kidding. But he, I can imagine. I mean, I can't imagine his tree trunk legs going up and then just going into pancake butt.
Yeah, just going up to Hank Hill butt. So I don't know, like, I sort of feel like that's for Siege in Florida. I feel like that's a question for him. I think he'll have an opinion on that.
Best butt. Which actor has the best butt? Yeah, I can hear your wife shouting from the other room, "It's Brad Evans!"
Well, yeah, I mean, she doesn't have to be present for that. Yeah. Her ears are burning right now. Or her butt is burning right now.
Unrelated.
That was not how that was supposed to go. So it was pretty dumb to finally see Leo Chu get a start, but as I pointed out poorly on Twitter, like, why is it that we only get to see him start when they field S. Chu? Like, it's just like, they played like 2 16-year-olds and a guy that they found like taking out the trash and like Schmetzer's friend that like parks his car, like, come on, let's go! And like, and then there's Leo Chu, and I was like, oh, hey, look at you, that's cool, man.
Look at Chu.
He scores, he should totally roar like Chewbacca.
Yeah, Chewbacca. Oh, dude, yes.
No, itself.
When I watched them roll out the roster against RSL, was like, okay, look, Loggerway has talked a lot about the fact that we are prioritizing the CONCACAF Cup this year, the Champions League, which, again, no MLS club has ever won this year. It looks like an MLS club is at least going to be playing in the final, if not two MLS clubs playing in the final, based on the way that teams are playing this year. That said, the way that Loggerway talked...
Cincinnati versus Austin.
That's too unrealistic. No way Austin... No way Cincinnati's ever doing anything close to anything that would be related to being called a champion.
Leo, choo-choo-choo! Yeah. That's what I start saying, too. Okay, sorry.
So the Sounders are definitely, as they say they are every year, prioritizing the Cup of CONCACAF Cup. Mm-hmm. Well... previous years, even when they prioritize it, they end up against Liga MX competition and can't do jack at all. And so this year,
that's because they also run up against CONCACAF refs,
right? Like, well, but even when they play against León, they still are somehow able to overcome these referees and Nuhu's bogus yellow card. That was the most insane, stupid yellow card I've ever seen. And then on the other end of the field, or not on the other end of the field, but then Arriaga basically destroys a person from the inside out and gets absolutely no card. So
it's amazing what big babies some of these players on the Mexican teams are. Like, it's as if they have to pay. Like, Mexico does not have universal health care. I would say, I'm going to change my tweet, does not have universal health care, because as soon as they get touched, they fall over like they're going to die, so they could sue you later because someone's got to pay that medical bill. Like, yeah, it's
I don't know.
It works.
It works. I saw. I went to where all competent Sounders fans get their news, sure. reddit.com/r/SoundersFC. And somebody asked the question, when did the Sounders get so dirty? I've never seen them commit so many fouls. And the Sounders traditionally, in the past, have picked up, in MLS, they've picked up the Fair Play Award, which is the team that commits the least fouls or throughout the season, or commits the least fouls and receives the least amount of cautions, right? The Sounders have picked up that Fair Play Award in the past. I don't see, under Brian Schmetzer, of all people, them getting dirtier or sloppier, or even with Javier Arriaga at the back, like, doing anything that's going to threaten their ability to contend for something like the Fair Play Award. But when you put them up against South American or Central American opposition, it's not that the team is necessarily playing dirtier. It's just that, like, the level of dirt that is required to cause these other players to feel fouled is a lot less. And then you're playing with a referee who's used to refereeing a different game, right? Like, the way that the game is in the U.S. is versus Mexico, or wherever these referees are used to refereeing, is a completely different game.
Yeah, it's really interesting to that. I think for me, that's a bigger factor because a referee can stop any of this easily by just showing a card to someone who takes it too far and then setting the tone there. It's not, it wouldn't be hard to make that happen if they wanted to. And so, like, even if the teams are chippier, they play a little bit different style, like, ultimately, it's up to how it's officiated. And I don't want the referee deciding the game, but I also don't want it to be Mad Max out there. So it's like, they were talking about during the broadcast, I didn't quite catch it. At some point, they were talking about how they were subbing in a guy whose number was like 225 or something like that. And I was so happy for you because I know that's your favorite. When the players
triple digit. I just like the idea that that when you sub these players, I think in Club Leon's case, I don't think that they played an incredibly weakened team against the Sounders. But I think that once you're already losing, you can maybe like save face a little bit by subbing in your like number 420 because it's like, oh, well, look, we were playing our subs. You know what I mean? And
the wrong guy comes running on. Number 69 comes running on. Yeah. They're like, oh, no.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were playing Vancouver. but I don't know. Garth Lagerwey said at the beginning of the season that this team was going to be able to compete in all of the competitions. And so when the Sounders roll out S2 and against RSL, and granted, every single person is injured, and it doesn't look like the Leon game is going to make that any better. Now that... is that the... Am I hearing the...
No. Oh, no.
Now that freaking Alex Roldan has a yum bone chip in his foot.
Oh, what?
Yeah. And apparently he's still able to play, but it's more of a quote-unquote pain tolerance thing. So it's like, imagine being this badass. Somebody's just like, hey, Alex, do you mind playing with the chip in your bone?
I'll put my bone in your chip. That's what I'll do. Wait, what?
Gross. It's the dip. My bone in your chips.
Alex, put it in the dip, you dummy.
I don't know.
Is that guacamole on your crotch? Or oh my god.
And does anybody else notice how big Jordan Morris's butt is?
No, those are just avocados. That's where he stores them. Okay, so Seattle hasn't won a game yet. It's two matches in to the MLS season, and I'm trying to prioritize. Sorry, Garth Lagerwey. I'm trying to prioritize the MLS season because that's the one that's I can more often attend matches for. So, if they make it to the semifinals here on the 17th, then like I'm excited about the Champions League for sure. But every year it's such a letdown, and then we're like, wait a second, there's a regular season. But it is weird watching a team play like it's already, I don't know, like June-ish, and there's international call-ups and no squad is there. And it's a shortened season, I guess, right? Because the World Cup coming up. And so not that it's a more condensed season. It's not, the time frame is shortened. The number of matches is still the same. And so, personally, I'm not at all worried after two matches and no points and no goals because they're going to sort it out. The team is too good. And this is kind of classic Sounders under Brian Schmetzer, even under Ziggy for part of it. Like, they just figure stuff out and then they come good when you need them to. But we really are seeing right out of the gate that there ain't no depth and that we're counting on a 34-year-old man who, like, sometimes steals the passes from his teammates and then sometimes scores goals. I love him for it.
And Albert Rusnak cannot continue to miss every single opportunity that he's given, right?
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. Like, I know these guys are professional athletes and I know that they're, you know, paid to go out on the field and to do their job. But I feel like maybe the Salt Lake crowd got to him a little bit. Like, I have no way of judging that, and I don't know the guy. I've never even spoken to the guy at all, so I would have no way of knowing. But, like, he was getting his face booed off during that thing. And, like, he did, I mean, as any sportsman would do for the right contract, he did turn his back on a club that had been good to him. And I don't know how he handled his exit with the fans. I'm sure they're justifiably upset about that. That's fine. But, like, he never got firing. And then he's making all these, like, what appear to be in-your-head mistakes. Mm-hmm. Like, just, like, leaning back too far when you're taking a shot and you kick the extra point instead of scoring a goal. Yeah. Like, just little things like that where with just a little bit more focus, he could probably be killing it.
I mean, I would like to believe that the players got in his head more than he's a sleeper agent sent by whoever it is that owns Real Salt Lake at this point. A Mormon sleeper agent that came in and intentionally missed some goals. Look, he's I wish we had a character. I wish Albert Rusnak was a character like Clint Dempsey, which is it's like anger meter. Like the more that you get booed, the more angry you get, but the better that makes you at the game. And so
yeah.
I don't know if maybe they did get into his head, all 16 of their fans that they had in the stadium.
hey, to start, they at least had 100.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. But obviously, after the weather delay, they lost a few.
Dude, that was that was the craziest thing. You were at a bar, I think, watching it or something.
Yeah,
I was at home and like... They're like, okay, now we're gonna go to an episode of Chicago Fire, and I was like,
and they're not cutting away from the MLS to show the actual MLS Chicago Fire playing their match. They cut away for the actual show called Chicago Fire,
and they were joining it already in progress. That was my favorite part. Is it wasn't like they were gonna just fire up an episode or like, okay, here's an old Whose Line Is It Anyway or whatever. They're just like, and now whatever else was supposed to be playing.
That's what the
Sounders
should
do. And I wonder which got better
do.
Ratings.
They have an owner who is Drew Carey. At this point, they should be just showing episodes of Whose Line Is It Anyway during the break.
No. Better than that, they should have Ryan Stiles and Colin Mockery and Wayne Brady on standby every match just in case this happens. And then they go live for some Whose Line to fill.
The Sounders in 2022 are going to, they're going because they are better than they've showed in the first two matches of the season. They are going to make it to the MLS Cup final, and they are going to host it because they will have also won the Supporter Shield and first place in the Western Conference. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is easy to deliver.
Let's get that out of the way. The scenario is the Sounders are hosting...
Assumed.
The Sounders are hosting the MLS Cup final, which means that they are in charge of putting on a halftime show. Instead of bringing in, you know...
Pearl Jam
or some big Seattle band or something like that, they bring in the original cast of Whose Line Is It Anyway to put on live... can you imagine Colin Mockery going up to in the middle of the field going, can I get a profession, just any profession? You in row Z, seat 46... Okay, I'll take that. Okay, and here we go. And Wayne Brady just starts singing out of nowhere. You're like, come on, man.
Yeah, so that's what I would like to see, honestly. I think
now,
that, why
Russell
can't
Wilson,
that happen?
Russell Wilson's now being traded to Denver, and I think that is, okay, in New Who math, let's go here for a second. Russell Wilson, how many Wayne Brady's, Ryan Stiles, and Colin Mockery's are one Russell Wilson?
Dude, I can't do that math. That's... Like, I wonder what Russell Wilson's deal looks like. Also, you know, I was watching New Who trucking up and down the field during that thing, and I thought, well, Bobby Wagner doesn't have a job, and we need depth.
And he does play LB.
Just saying. Or I want to see New Who tackle someone like Bobby Wagner would. That would be also very dope. So.
My wife was asking me a little
who?
Bit. Sorry. The wife that I have access to was asking me about the Seahawks transactions that were just made. And I was like, look, I barely have time to do a weekly podcast about the team that I really enjoy. So I don't know much, but I will tell you this, Catherine, Russell Wilson and Wobby Wagner. And then I said Wobby Wagner out loud. And then now I can't not say Wobby Wagner anymore, which we also have now a Pau Jaulo, which got me into this, this should be, go leave us a review, tell us who your favorite old Sounders player is, but also which Sounder has the best Spoonerism name, because right now my money is on Sack Zot.
He's like he also is trying to kill Superman.
The worst one by far is Raul Ruiz Diaz.
Okay, fair, because the R, sure.
Oh, wait, dude, okay. Dint Clempsey?
This is amazing. My brain does not do this game, and I, like, love it. Lico Nodero? Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Maybe like
Morten. Don't put him in goal.
Yeah. Beppin Stry. So I'm sure there's better than Dint Clempsey, but Dint Clempsey right now is my leader.
Now, can you make him into a Waw character for me, please? Could you do
like Waw Clint?
How about Wawabi Wagner?
Dude, Wanuhu sounds absolutely like when yeah. when Nuhu gets angry, he is Wanuhu.
Hey, when he scores a goal, he's turning into Wanuhu for sure. It's just over. Like I don't even care if he's happy. I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna bicycle kick.
I can't wait. This is the happiest I've been for some. Like, I want to get a Wanuhu jersey now. Yes. Screw your Nuhu jersey that you got. I want Wanuhu.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would he know what that is? Is that a big enough? Is Wario, for anyone who doesn't know, is Wario a big enough name?
Like character,
Yeah, like there's Waluigi, and like if I did Wanuhu, would people be like, would anyone get that?
I don't know. I mean, like if we put a crinkly zigzag mustache on a picture of Nuhu.
I mean, obviously this is your task for the week.
I'm going to go Photoshop this immediately.
Yeah, I feel like it's like definitely what you're going to neglect your family for the next hour to get it just right.
Yeah.
Come on. If you could actually get that to me so I could put it up as part of the podcast as the art for this week, that'd be really great. So.
Done.
You're like, I don't even know why I'm still talking to you. Yeah. I got to finish this up.
I don't even have Photoshop on this computer, but I'm going to go buy it so I can make that.
Well, in case you... Oh, wait. We should talk about how there's a match on Sunday at 12:30 noon. So, no, Saturday even. Saturday at 12:30, right around lunchtime, Seattle Sounders FC play against the non-sashed... The non-sashed question LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
Home match, but first of the game.
Sounders LA Galaxy are 2-for-2 this season, and they've won both of their games by the same margin that the Sounders have lost both of their games. So they've won twice, 1-0.
Rui Diaz, Will Bruin, any updates on them at all that we've seen anywhere?
Idea is that neither of those guys are going to be ready. Roldan, despite having a chip in his bone, will be playing
bone in his chips.
Gross. Will Bruin was a full training participant in this week's training and will be available. Nico and Raul definitely out. Josh Atencio, Jimmy Madrona, a bit closer, but still probably not quite there.
I was like, what was that guy that played last year in the midfield? He's like kind of tall and handsome and he was, well, whatever. And then you just said Josh Atencio, and I was like, hey, yeah, that guy. Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah. I honestly have been excited to see this team this year a lot. I mean, like, I think a lot of the players are playing really well. Christian Roldan absolutely played out of his mind against Leon. So hoping he can have gutted for him that he wasn't able. I almost said butted for him. And then I realized I wasn't talking about Jordan Morris. Really gutted for Christian Roldan that he wasn't able to score. He got so close, but assisted two goals, drew the penalty that won the goal. Like, I don't know. That player, he should get called up for the U.S. men's national team, if you ask me.
In case this podcast was too long and you just didn't listen, here's too long, didn't listen.
Too long, didn't listen.
That's not a butt. Those are avocados. Too long, didn't listen.
My new D&D character is a troll, and he is the angrier that you make him, the worse names that you call him, the better at the sport or the better at fighting he gets. His name, Dint Clempsey.
That's good.
Too long, didn't listen.
It's a me, Wanuhu. I'm a gonna win. I don't
know. He's in Wah Sounders cart, and he gets to ride his bicycle.
And so they wear blue jerseys with the green checkers on the front.
Right. Wanu.
Okay, go buy Photoshop.
Yeah, on my way.